This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with co-host Mark Murphy, editor of Providence Business News. Mark?
Hi there, Dave.
And our guest today is Mr. David Dedakian. He heads a culinary media company. It's called Eat Drink RI. Mr. Dedakian is a recent recipient of an innovation fellowship by the Rhode Island Foundation. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Give us a sense of where your company stands right now. It's pretty much an online presence.
Certainly. The website is the key centerpiece. We have obviously a writing photography of local stories on the website, as well as a great events page presence for all local culinary events. In the real world, the non-web world, we have cooking classes and private events throughout the year. And then this weekend is our four-day Eat, Drink, Rhode Island Festival. It's our third annual festival. And tonight, as you're listening to this, is our food truck event to benefit the food bank, the Rhode Island Community Food Bank. And Saturday is our grand tasting with well over 40 local food, drink, spirits, wines, great, great vendors, chefs. And Sunday is our brunch with 9 restaurants and a coffee bar and a cocktail bar and jazz musicians from the Philharmonic.
But eventually, you'd like to move into something more concrete, more brick and mortar?
Absolutely. That's the plan. That's the whole project with this fellowship that I've received, is to create a central marketing culinary hub.
You liken it to Chelsea Markets in Manhattan, right?
It's an example. Certainly a Chelsea Market, the Reading Market in Philadelphia, Pike's Place in Seattle. These types of things we've seen spring up around the country that really promote local food and local growth. And, you know, we need something like that here. We've got fantastic local food.
So you think that we, being Rhode Island, are already a food hub, a foodie hub, as it were?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, where else? I mean, the beauty of Rhode Island is our size, is that, you know, we can get great produce, great meats, great seafood in about 15 to 20 minutes in some cases, you know, or max 45 minutes. And that gets to some of the best restaurants in the country. And then it can get to farmers markets, which are booming here in the state, and right on to the local consumer.
Any idea where your complex might locate?
We haven't found a location yet. That'll be the first step of the project, is to find a good spot for it. You know, I don't want to agonize over it and search for years. I want to try and find a good location that is centrally located for most drivers throughout the state and also be on public transportation.
So what makes a good location, besides what you just mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, that to me is key. I mean, you know, we are, for better or worse, a mostly car culture, and so we need to be somewhere near, you know, 95 perhaps, and with a good parking lot. And then, like I said, I want to make sure that this is something that everyone has access to. So, you know, all walks of life can get to this, hopefully, on the public transportation.
Well, and and you're talking about locals, but also the idea, I mean, these other places are tourist draws as
Absolutely.
Well. So you want to make it be accessible and connected with other tourist destinations too, I bet.
Absolutely. That is very much a key part of this, is to try and, you know, teach the rest of the country and the world what we have here.
Would going to Newport make sense in that sense, you know, with that in mind?
I hadn't given Newport that much thought. Personally, I'm not sure. It is a tourist destination, obviously, but it is a tourist destination about 5 to 6 months of the year. So
okay.
I'm not sure that would be a solution.
And you want this to be year-round?
Yes, absolutely year-round, yeah.
How about something in the Blackstone Valley, perhaps? It would be more of a regional draw.
That's a possibility. 295 is a very well-traveled corridor right now. That is something we could look at.
You have Hartford, Worcester, you have Boston, and beyond.
Sure, yeah. And there's a lot of good farms up there. But there's a lot of good farms in South County, too. So we've got to try and find something that will make a lot of people happy, which is tough in Rhode Island because, you know, no one wants to drive more than 10 minutes. So it'll be a good challenge.
Do you see one of the big challenges actually corralling the various pieces of the food culture in the state, or do you think that actually everyone is pretty much, you know, working in concert already?
It is a challenge. I think I have an advantage over most because I have had this the third year for my festival, and we do assemble some of the best at the festival because I just reach out and I've connected with these people over the years. Like I said, you know, we've got 40 different vendors and probably about 40 restaurants as well. I feel that's firmly under my belt, and I can keep moving from there. And most people in the state want to work together. I mean, it's a great cooperative.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and our guest is Mr. David Dedakian of the culinary media company called Eat Drink RI. I imagine you have a business plan, and what about that in terms of going to see people about financing your project?
Absolutely. I mean, the fellowship is a $300,000 grant which is absolutely wonderful, and I appreciate the foundation, the Rhode Island Foundation, and the Cardis for that. But you know, for a project this size, you know, I look at that as seed money, and you know, we'll use that to get it off the ground and then start looking for other investors.
Do you see any one aspect of the of Rhode Island's food culture as being a standout over any other? You know, whether it's the seafood, whether it's farm to table, whether it's you know, actually various meats that are locally raised or even processed at, say, Daniele. I mean, what stands out in your mind?
Honestly, they're all fantastic. I think we right now our restaurants stand out simply because they have the best marketing, and that's the best way to attract people. But all our growers from water to land are fantastic. We really have amazing products here. I've tried just about every one of them. I work closely with a lot of them, and I'm more than happy to tell anyone in other parts of the country, hey, you've got to check out this beef, or you've got to check out these oysters or things of that nature. Our restaurants have definitely been a standout because that's a bit more consumer-friendly and easy to point to. But we've got just great products all over the line. And our products are also amazing. You mentioned Daniele. Dave's Coffee makes a fantastic coffee syrup, which I've gotten in the hands of people all over this country, and everyone who has it loves it. I was just a friend of mine from Seattle the other day was talking about it. I was like, what is this coffee syrup stuff? And I was like, you know, try this. And he loved it. He was like, this is a great product. Why don't we know about this? And I was like, well, we're gonna make sure you know about this. And Narragansett Creamery, Rhodey Fresh. I mean, there's so many value-added products that, you know, we have here that we're just going to keep expanding. Hope in Maine is a great example of a business that's going to help grow that. I mean, they're going to incubate culinary businesses that are going to create a lot more value-added products. So we're gonna keep showing the country what we've got.
When you get to a brick-and-mortar existence, who would you hire? Who would be working for you?
That's a big question. I mean, obviously, you know, we're going to need managers, floor managers for the facility itself. I mean, everything from, you know, legal down to the health department liaisons. I mean, that's a really, really big question. I mean, hopefully this will be a big driver for jobs as we move forward.
How about wait staff, cooks?
We'll have to see how that side of things builds up. I'm not sure that we're going to be a restaurant per se, but certainly there should be shops and things of that nature. So, yeah, I'm sure we'll continue to grow the hospitality industry. It's you know, it's phenomenal here.
When you talked about restaurants being one of the strengths even now is whether you would consider using pop-up restaurants. You know, you sort of come in for a week at a time and you know, it would be exposure both for the restaurant but also for tourists, you know, to places that they may not see normally.
Absolutely. I certainly hope that the facility will be available for events from, you know, from small sizes like a pop-up to, you know, to bigger, you know, to really get culinary tourism on the map at that location.
In our final moments, what is your next step?
Well, the festival this weekend is my primary step right now. It's huge and it's wonderful. Come Monday, start talking to people about locations and start finding the right people to help me build this thing.
Okay, our guest has been David Dedakian of the culinary media company Eat Drink RI. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This has been The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Support for The Bottom Line comes from Bank RI, a local bank creating financial solutions to help small businesses grow and succeed. More at bankri.com.